Welcome to Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. Today I'd like to welcome Trish Broersma from Riding Beyond. Welcome, Trish.
Thank you, Paula.
Now, you run a very special program for survivors of breast cancer. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about it and then tell us how you started this.
Okay. Well, the program is for women who have completed treatment for breast cancer in general. Occasionally, we have someone who is still in treatment. But the idea is that it's for revitalization and restoration of their bodies. They often emerge from treatment with many side effects from the years or months of treatment, you know, digestive issues, pain in different parts of their body, but especially they often have emotional scarring or challenges that have to do with their having become reclusive, having been in a situation of fighting for their lives for a while. So they have basically PTSD issues.
Right. I was thinking that.
Yeah. And, you know, they often don't want to be touched or to touch other people. They just have a long road to come back to themselves. And the medical world's job is to get them cancer-free, but they don't really offer much for these things. And the women often feel kind of abandoned once they finish treatment. They're not really sure where to go because there's not much offered. Mm-hmm. And so we've stepped into that need to offer such support and revitalization. I got started in it, basically over 25 years ago. I was teaching horseback riding and training horses and really enjoyed it, but I felt like something was missing. I think it came from, as a child, I wanted to be a doctor, but after getting all my pre-med requirements, realized I didn't really like the competitive atmosphere of pre-med, and I was informed that there would be even more so in med school. I also had a background in community development, working in ghetto areas, and knew the need for that. And I saw with the teaching I was doing that horses had so many benefits for people, but it was pretty much limited to upper middle class and above financially. So I heard about therapeutic riding, and I just read it on the front page of our newspaper in San Antonio. And just the light bulbs went off. I thought, oh my gosh, it never occurred to me that I could, you know, combine my interests that way. And so I didn't look back. I started working initially in the traditional field of therapeutic riding, working with children and adults with disabilities. And because of my interests also in literature and storytelling and the power of myth, I started developing programs that enlisted some of these other modalities for really attending to the human spirit, I'd say, the emotional life and the human spirit from an educational perspective, because although I know that psychotherapy has many benefits, I really found that literature and in-depth experiential learning was more transformational for me and what I wanted to offer people. And so I gradually started developing a program for at-risk teens. Mm-hmm. And most of those teens eventually came from residential treatment centered here locally, boys and girls individually, separately,
yes.
In groups. And over the years that ran that program for about 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. And all that during that time, I was with a therapeutic riding program, but I resigned from that and started doing more teaching internationally and in other parts of the U.S. as well, basically offering similar experiences to what I did with the at-risk teens, but it was for women and men in transition, mm-hmm. doing basically kind of it was called Journey Horse, mm-hmm. and they are vision quests of a sort of modern-day vision quests, exploring the inner and outer journeys of our times. And so because of that, several years ago, I was feeling like I wanted to offer something more to my local community because I was mostly gone a lot. And I was in the presenting at a conference in Arizona, and a woman was presenting about a program she had developed for women with breast cancer. And she herself, 7 or 8 years previous to that, had been actually dying of the effects of her breast cancer treatment. The treatment had put a hole in one lung and damaged her heart.
Yes.
And as a result of that, she was in hospice. And she one day went out to, she'd given away all but one of her horses and given away her dogs. And she went out and lay on the back of the one remaining horse. And when she did that, she did it just out of a yearning for comfort. But a couple of days later, the hospice nurse asked her what she was doing to get better. And the only thing that she had done different was to lie on the back of that horse. And because she was a therapeutic riding instructor, she paid attention to that, and she got a medical professional to help her. Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, she got out of hospice, and within a year, she was well. And so she developed this program that I heard about that day, and I just felt inspired that this was something that I could offer. I haven't personally had breast cancer, but I have closely accompanied two close friends mm-hmm. who had breast cancer, stage 4 breast cancer, a few years ago. And so I knew firsthand what they had gone through. And so I had a lot of compassion for that. And so I came back and just found that one of my horses, who I thought fit the description, I thought she might be good for it. Although she was my endurance horse primarily, although I'd used her in some group interactions, I'd never put other people on her back because she was a little too hot for that sort of thing. And so I wasn't sure she's going to be wanting to stand still right. like she needed to. But right from the very beginning, I climbed up on her back kind of and did it kind of unskillfully just to mimic the way another person might do it. And she always just stood right still. You know, I'd had volunteers do it. And then, you know, after a few months, we did a pilot program. And Even with our very first client, it was just remarkable what happened because we discovered that Mystic had a new calling in her life, my horse, pardon?
Well, I was going to say, this is the endurance horse you're speaking of, Mystic.
Right. Yeah, yes. Right.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Very
and
interesting.
She's small. She's 14.3, and that's, you don't want the horse to be any bigger than that.
No.
And she's a half Arab, half thoroughbred, Anglo-Arab, it's called. And she looks more like an Arab. She has that beauty about her. And so with our very first client, she was a woman who was actually in the middle of her treatment. She'd taken a few weeks off between chemo and radiation. And she was a little frail, and she was also a little hesitant around horses. She had much experience, but she was interested. And Mystic, within a minute of the two of them greeting one another, which is our first activity, which is the main activity of our first session, rather, within a minute of that, Mystic started nuzzling her solar plexus area. And I'd never seen her do anything like that. I was actually quite alarmed at first that she might be about to nibble on her or bite her. And I was also surprised that she didn't move away, the client didn't move away, because it seemed quite intimate. And she went, but she just continued to gently and persistently nuzzle her without engaging her teeth at all. And finally, after about 30, 45 seconds, I put my hand on her chest and Mystic stepped back. And then this woman told us that was where her tumor was, and that Mystic had just zeroed right in on that.
Yes.
And she we all had tears. I mean, it was just a very moving experience. And for her, for the client, it changed her life, really. She's never been the same. She says even today that Mystic is a permanent companion in her life. in her life, in her imagination, mm-hmm. and that she supports her in times of sorrow and struggle, as well as in times of joy. She feels her presence with her, okay. And that was just the beginning of remarkable interactions that Mystic display. It's always different. We never can tell what's going to happen, but it's always something very moving and touching, and something that is very pertinent to that person's life and journey. So, I credit part of that to the fact that I have done Liberty work with Mystic for many years. I'd say 8 or 9 years ago, she was a difficult young horse and very hormonal as a mare, as the most hormonal mare I've ever been around. And
Do you want to just explain what Liberty work is for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. It's basically working with a horse without any restraints. They have no halter or no lead rope. In this Liberty work, I patterned it on the work of Carolyn Resnick out of California.
Yes.
So that this work is done in a large area, much larger than a round pen, like the size of at least 2 or 3 round pens, so that the horse has choice. The point is that the horse has choice, where they don't have much choice in a round pen. And so it's working with the language that horses utilize with one another, so that you work first at just establishing being with one another, like in a herd. And if you don't have that trust, where the horse just hangs out with you with a sense of trust, you really can't go any further. You have to establish that first. And that can take weeks or months with a horse that's been abused. And then there's greeting the horse. You don't just walk up and put a halter on a horse without their giving you permission by reaching out and greeting you. And then there's, claiming territory, because, once you have that trust and so forth, you still need to establish that the person is in the role of leadership, that the horse is willing to turn that role over to the person. Otherwise, you're going to be in dangerous situations. You can get hurt. And so we work on, first of all, taking territory, which is, we put a pan of food in the middle of the arena to practice it. And then the horse gets to eat it. And then you walk over and say, okay, it's mine now. And you want the horse to step back politely and wait, not run around or not bite at you or be aggressive or impatiently, insist that you hurry up and get away, that sort of thing. You want them to share their territory. And then there's, the one that was hardest for Mystic was leading her from behind or driving her from behind, standing back behind the horse at a 45-degree angle. You ask the horse to move forward and turn and so forth, do all kinds of things. And for her, she would just run off after a few seconds, like, I don't have to do this. and so different horses, according to their personalities, have different issues that come up with this kind of work. And the idea is that you have to, you just start over, basically, when they run off like that. And there's a lot of permutations of it, but the idea is that there's a lot more responsibility put on the human for becoming more communicative with a horse in ways that the horse can truly respond to willingly, so that you end up with a willing and enthusiastic horse who is interacting in ways that I have never really experienced in traditional training, which is what I grew up with, which is what all of us mm-hmm. grew up with. And I've just seen miracles happen. And I've also realized that part of what makes it work with Mystic is that being that hormonal mare, even when she was in full hot season, she would settle down and focus on this work, which just amazed us. And, I realized that we were harnessing that maternal instinct of hers that's so strong, that she actually is turning all that hormonal behavior towards taking care of people, because she's always been interactive, but if we'd go out in a, like on a trail ride or endurance ride, she'd often get quite unmanageable because of this hormonal side. It was like she wanted to hook up with the horses and have a baby, that kind of thing. And so as I've learned to build this relationship with her through Liberty work, and then saw the remarkable engagement that she offers for working with breast cancer survivors, I've realized how ideal that is for her in ways that I would never have expected. Now, we also involve other horses in this work, two geldings in our group sessions where women don't get on the horses. We do group activities. And actually, even in our individual sessions, women don't necessarily get on the horse if they're not able to or if they don't want to. And so we accomplish the benefits, the physical benefits, which have to do with lying down on the horse's rump. We accomplish that by having them lie against the horse's shoulder or against their back and have that kind of intimacy that triggers the vagus nerve is what's happening for them to the vagus nerve is what it runs the ventral portion of it runs down the front of the body, and it's involved in the autonomic nervous system, which is often what's compromised with PTSD and causes the heightened heart rate and digestive problems and a number of things. And so lying on the horse's back or leaning against the horse for a minute or two, just, and it doesn't take longer than that, triggers, activates that nerve so that things start moving in harmony again. And they can often take a deep breath for the first time. They've gone into the shallow breathing mode sometimes and aren't able to take a deep breath, but just sitting up from lying on the horse's back like that for a minute, they often are able to take a fully deep breath for the first time in months. So, there's, and then we work a lot with activities, storytelling and poetry reading and writing that open the heart so that we share our own life stories. And when I say we, I'm talking about the participant and the three volunteers and myself. It's a group activity. It's not all just focused on that person so that they don't feel singled out so much. although they're right. The only ones who do get on the horse, but the volunteers help support that.
And I think that's important.
Yeah.
You want that security.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's very much an experience of being in a sisterhood, you might say, women supporting one another. We all have our challenges, and some of our volunteers are breast cancer survivors. But even those who are not, we all have challenges in our lives that we bring to bear upon this work in supporting one another to move ahead and, to look at the larger life we're living, because we often get tunnel vision in the face of stress, and we just lose sight of that larger life that's calling us, that destiny, so to speak, that we have. And so much of what we do together with the horses has to do with opening our eyes and our lives and our bodies to that and rediscovering it for now and the future. So
now, do you work with men also get breast cancer? Do you ever have male clients?
We have not. I suppose we might if they're, most men would be too big for Mystic. We can't take over 165 pounds. But having said that, we do have all-day group sessions, and we've had a number of men come to that. They were not breast cancer survivors. They were the group sessions are open to any cancer survivor, friends and family of cancer survivors, and medical professionals who want to learn more about this. And so we get we take 15 people, and we usually have a handful of men you know, three or four men coming as well. So, yeah.
How long are the sessions?
Well, the individual sessions go an hour and 15 minutes, and there are four of them. The group sessions start at 9 in the morning and go until 2 in the afternoon. So we do a lot more in-depth activities together in those group sessions.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever conduct a retreat or anything that would last longer than?
Well, we have not. I haven't for other things, but not with Writing Beyond. I've done 5-day intensives. But this year, actually, in spring, at the end of May, the last week in May, Tuesday through Friday, for the first time, we're going to do 4 days in a row with Writing Beyond. And the idea is that people could come in from out of town. We actually have an extraordinary community here with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and then also the natural beauty here is just extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. You want to just mention where
you
are?
Yeah, I'm in Southern Oregon, in Ashland, Oregon. We're nestled in a valley between two mountain ranges, and it's just extraordinary, hiking and biking and whitewater rafting and sailing and all kinds of outdoor activities, as well as any healing modality that you've ever heard of. There's somebody here doing alternative modes of healing work, so that people come year after year, partly to see plays at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, which is world-class Broadway quality theater, modern plays as well as Shakespeare. The Shakespeare plays are they're always reinterpreted, you might say. Wow. I mean, they just do wild, like one time they had a lot of motorcycles on stage. But anyway, so people come year after year for that and for a whole week. And partly to enjoy the place, but also just to enjoy this the natural environment here. And so we're offering for the first time this week for the women who come who are breast cancer survivors to, in the mornings, to come and join us with the horses for those 4 days.
Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful. And if you if listeners go on your website, you'll see how beautiful the area is. And just, you know, definitely a wonderful place to be and heal, for sure. Now, for listeners who would like more information, Trish, I was wondering if you could perhaps share with us your URL for your website.
Yes, it's writingbeyond.org, .org, and there is a newsletter that people can sign up for, so they get a regular updates on what we're doing. And we also have a Facebook page. Writing Beyond is our Facebook page, which has more informal postings. But those are the two main ways to find out about what we're doing. Yeah.
Now, how much does this cost?
Well, the individual sessions are free because we feel that women generally who have been in breast cancer treatment have been extremely maxed out financially.
Yes.
And the group sessions, we ask for donation, and the same for the 4-day intensive at the end of May, there will be a charge for that. We haven't set the price yet. We're going to be doing that in the next week or two, but there will be a charge for that.
And there'll be accommodation, I assume, if there's a lot of artistic theater, et cetera, going on. I'm sure that there's many.
Right. There's a lot of B&Bs and hotels. And we're located, the program's located just 5 minutes away from downtown Ashland. So it's quite available for people.
That's great. That's wonderful. Now, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, I think I'd like people to know that this program and many, many people that I am associated with in a variety of ways feel that we are part of a huge evolutionary trend of bringing our world into a balance with, you can talk about it as balance between the masculine and the feminine. You can talk about it, you know, in terms of peace. But I firmly feel that the benefits of, besides what we've talked about for breast cancer survivors, that the benefits of learning to communicate with another species, like a horse, in this way, in this dynamic way, that is truly coming into a partnership and honoring the horses as sentient beings, that this practice and this learning is extremely important at this time in terms of our truly taking a role of stewardship for our earth, you know, that we learn to understand and communicate more effectively, not just with the earth, but, you know, with other peoples, with other cultures, with other living beings. And I think this work is critical for our future. And this mm-hmm. is the particular form that I am working with right now. And yeah, so.
Yeah, that's very important. And I think the interesting thing is that it's a common thread that I've heard from many people that partner with horses. Mm-hmm. And horses seem to be the leaders, the leading animal that, for whatever reason, I do think that they're very sensitive and mm-hmm. people, even though they may not be horse people, they can gain so much by interacting with
them. Absolutely. Because you see, horses are associated. I mean, first of all, horses have been a part of human history throughout, you know, for many, many thousands of years. And but so therefore, horses are associated in our imagination with tales of heroism, beauty, and power. And they even, I mean, today they're no longer in these utilitarian roles of for farming and warfare and so forth. But they have, you know, they're mostly for pleasure and sport, but they've stepped into this new healing role because they have something to offer what we desperately need. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be a partnership, you know. It can't, I mean, I think humans in many ways have taken the leadership, but what's being asked for now is a new kind of partnership that with other beings for the humans. And horses, because of their history with us and their beauty, their power, their strength, they offer us something that really we don't get with any other animal, you know, because of their nature and their particular gifts. And yes.
mm-hmm. So. Well, I think also maybe to, if you can, you know, elaborate a little bit on that, their particular gifts, what would you say? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Well, I think...
Why a horse
yeah.
over a dog?
Yeah,
someone
yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yes.
You know, because dogs, I mean, I have a dog, and dogs are important, too. But the thing about horses is, first of all, they're prey animals as opposed to the predators that dogs are. But and so as a prey animal, they have a heightened sensitivity to their environment. They pick up things that the rest of us don't pick up. And they, you know, through their eyes, their ears, just even through their skin. That's what has allowed them to survive all these centuries. But, you know, you can say that about dogs as well, other animals. But the thing about horses is that, I mean, you can get up and ride them. And that physical experience of being really at one with a horse, once you get skilled enough, you experience this extraordinary experience of being moving in synchrony with another being. That is one big step towards experiencing ourselves as one with all of creation, you know, which can mm-hmm. is a part of a, you know, a mystical kind of mm-hmm. union with all of life. And horses offer us, you know, stepping stones along that way. They also are herd animals, and because of their herd nature, they are willing to let us be a part of their herd, even willing to let us be step into the leadership position. And a lot of coaches and corporate coaches in particular do profound trainings with you know, teams in a corporate situation where mm-hmm. the horses reveal, give them the opportunity to reveal dynamics going on in their situation. And another piece about that is psychotherapists. There are thousands of psychotherapists and coaches and counselors who work with horses because of that sensitivity that I mentioned. They pick up on the subtext of what's going on in an interaction. You know, if someone's, you know, comes in and says, oh, yeah, I'm fine today, you know, and underneath they're really angry or sad, the horse is going to pick up on that subtext and respond to it. And it gives a lot of, you know, possibility for awareness in a deeper way for people and therapeutic interventions. So, right. You know, it's that's part of, you know, sort of a brushstroke of how it works, healing. You know. So
it's wonderful. And I think what you're doing is very wonderful work. And I'm so glad that you are doing this. Because, again, I don't think people realize the aftermath of what the treatment for this cancer does to people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They need it. But anyway, let's go back to, I just want to make sure you we have your social media and everything, because I want people to be able to connect with you.
Okay. You know, I would like also, if you don't mind, to mention that there is research going on to validate some of this work. A lot of people, I think, you know, this is kind of a soft science, but it's actually, for several years, a number of people have been, because of the sensitivity of scientific equipment, now they're starting to be able to measure exactly what's happening between people and horses. And in particular, this has been studied with returning war veterans. And the Institute of Heart Math has been leading in much of this research. And the Institute of Heart Math has studied, for instance, the energy field around a horse, the horse's heart in particular, because horse has a larger heart than a human does, there the energy field can be measured out to as far as 60 feet away. And where compared to the human heart, which goes at about 15 feet. And so the other thing about the horse's heart rhythm is that it has a particular complex rhythm that's associated with states of calm and peace. And that particular complex rhythm is something that returning war veterans who are suffering from PTSD do not have, that coherent heart rhythm, it's called. And they often have a heightened heart rhythm. And just by being around a horse, just by grooming the horse or standing with the horse, they find that their heart moves into that coherent rhythm. They experience it. State of joy and peace that they haven't had before, or at least for a long time, let's put it that way. And so the same thing is true, I think, for all of us who, you know, who know that we feel good around a horse. Well, they're starting to really be able to measure that, you know, the parameters of what, you know, how long it lasts, you know, what are the after effects. And, you know, so it's really quite encouraging that, you know, all of this that many of us know intuitively is being scientifically validated now. So,
yes, I think that's important. I think that's very
important. So my website, our website for Writing Beyond is writingbeyond.org. And then we have a social media presence on Facebook in Writing Beyond as well.
Oh, that's great. And it'll be Facebook, writingbeyond.com. Is that what it is?
On Facebook, you just type in Writing Beyond for Facebook.
Great.
And then you'll find our Facebook page.
So if people wanted to interact with other people, with you or your volunteers, then they could, correct? That's great. And what about Twitter?
Nope. Twitter's not something I've ever engaged in. So we're not present on Twitter. The only social media that we're on right now is Facebook.
Super. All right. Well, now people can find your contact information on the post page on Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. And all the links will go back to your website. So if they want to contact you and find out what's happening, they can also, once they're on your website, sign up for the newsletter and be informed about any new developments. And also, you have some wonderful, very moving videos that that show the results of this interaction with
Yes, Dr. Robin Miller, who is a physician here locally, who also has a TV show, came out for an individual session about a year and a half ago, just for 45 minutes. And she was so moved by what she personally experienced that she last summer did a video of our program, which is on our homepage, right at the top, where she interviews several of clients and volunteers, and there's footage of Mystic doing her magic. So that's our most recent piece.
Now that's great. All right. Well, thank you, Trish. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and share your wonderful
work. Thank you. Thank you, Paula. My pleasure.
Okay. All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Trish Broersma from Riding Beyond. Today's podcast has been brought to you by horselovers.com. That's horseloverz.com. Now, Horse Lovers is a leader in the equestrian industry, and they have a team of buyers that search the globe for the absolute best high-quality products at the lowest prices. And it's the only website I've been able to find my most favorite brushes, Steuben brushes, and other quality products. So they've given us a coupon code to use at checkout for orders over $100. And the coupon code is HORSEPODCAST. That's HORSEPODCAST. Well, this is Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Bye.